This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios
on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Then I watch him roll away again. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Sitting on the dock of the
Hollywood Casino Press Box. Watching the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. The Hall of Famer Rick Humble coming up at 11:30. Tomorrow, St. Louisans will vote on Propositions 1 and 2. It will determine whether we have soccer in St. Louis forever or never again. Joining us now is the economist from Washington University. He's also a contributor at Forbes magazine. He is Dr. Patrick Risch. Dr. Risch, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
Good, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
You've had a busy morning. You got Mr. Ricketts and Mr. DeWitt together at WashU. Tell our listening audience about that before we talk soccer.
Sure. Well, it was a really wonderful and surreal experience for me, Frank. You know, I come from a small town in upstate New York, about 100 miles south of Montreal. So my childhood experiences in baseball were with the Expos, so far different than the avid and deep fan bases of both the Cubs and Cardinals, and they were both great. They were both engaging, very insightful on the business of their teams. Of course, the Cubs actually have something similar, maybe not quite Ballpark Village, but they have a new addition outside their facility this year. Talked to Mr. Ricketts about the challenges of trying to convince your fan base that a 20% increase in ticket prices is reasonable, you know, after winning a championship, nothing more to expect than that. So it was a great conversation all the way around.
And you had another one recently, or you're about to have another one with Chris Pronger.
We actually had it on Friday.
Okay.
We had Chris Pronger, the Hall of Famer, and now voted one of the top 100 players of all time in the NHL. Spoke to our students and staff and alum on Friday, this past Friday. So we've got Mike Trout's agent, Craig Landis, coming on the 14th. We've got some really good people coming in this year. Very lucky.
You know, you should start booking guests for us on radio and television. You're unbelievable.
Well, I don't know. Your producer just made a comment about, now that I'm speaking with you, I'm speaking to someone that's many billions of dollars worth less than the two people that I just spoke with. So I don't know what to say there, but Frank, you're always aces in my book.
Yes, but I can offer food in the equation,
and
yes, they can't.
You can.
That's
yes,
right.
You can.
All right, lots to discuss. The vote is tomorrow, of course. First of all, let me give you this thought. On the projected attendance, since some of the money is going to be from the ticket tax, what are they projecting attendance-wise, and is it realistic?
Well, from what I've seen, it certainly is realistic. You know, if you look at Major League Soccer attendances, I think the median attendance across the league is roughly 88 to 90% of capacity. And I know some people that are naysayers of this project have said, oh, well, they're assuming that they're going to sell out every game. Nothing could be further from the truth. The numbers that they are projecting are more closer to the league median of around 90% attendance as a percentage of capacity. So it's certainly very realistic and reasonable in line with what's going on in Major League Soccer.
All right, let me read you a text. And I think this reflects the feelings of a percentage in the St. Louis city. I'm against it. I don't need to build stadiums for people that are already rich, not to mention pro soccer hasn't worked in St. Louis in the past. Once the luster wears off of empty stadium, an empty stadium awaits. Your reaction to that type of feeling in the St. Louis area?
Well, the second part of the comment, you know, you have to understand that the economics of the sport are far different than back in the NASL days or the indoor soccer days. So, yes, we are aware that there were some teams on the indoor soccer side that didn't necessarily last, but, of course, indoor soccer as a whole league didn't last, at least not to the extent that it did back in the 80s and early 90s. And the economics of Major League Soccer, they kind of are taking the best of all attributes of all the other leagues. It's like the NFL in some respects with this kind of league think first respect. So I think that it's a very reasonable fiscal league as a whole. They are coming along slowly. But again, when you think about this community in terms of its soccer history, Frank, as you know, it's really wonderful. As it relates to the first comment, which when I hear that, I hear people, they talk about corporate welfare. I'm going to repeat for all the listeners, 80% of the money that is needed, both to build the stadium and also the expansion fee of $150 million that will have to be paid. 80% of that money is coming from the SCSTL investors. 80%. When it comes to just the construction of the stadium, Frank, as we talked about the other day on your show, 39% of the financing for the stadium is coming from public sources, but none of that are new taxes that are going to be placed specifically on people that are residents of the city who aren't going to have anything to do with the stadium. If you're not going to the stadium, if you're not a business that's doing out-of-town purchases as part of your business, then you're not contributing to this. And let's not forget that part of these propositions, if I'm not mistaken, are also going to be utilized to improve Metrolink as well as to improve levels of public safety. So it's just a hard argument when I hear people, you know, talking about that. I just, you know, they've been burned. A lot of people, they haven't educated themselves on the facts. They're just kind of taking a rote position of, well, this is horrible to give any money at all to wealthy owners. Well, look, none of these owners, and even them collectively, they're not Stan Kroenke where they have billions and billions of dollars. They just don't have the resources. They need a little bit of help from the public, and that's what we're hoping to get.
And there's no doubt in your mind, as a guy who has studied these stadiums being built for nearly two decades, there's no doubt that the city of St. Louis will have more money coming in than giving out for the stadium.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. Again, I've looked at some of the numbers myself. I've looked at the report that's been posted on their website that was independently hired a consultant firm to come in. I'll look at the numbers. I've read that report carefully, and I've crunched some numbers on my own. And I just feel, again, when you look at public-private partnerships of sports facilities in this country since 1990, you would be hard-pressed to find a public-private partnership that is more fiscally responsible and also with community benefits the size of what we have here in this particular case. I think this is a fiscally responsible deal. You know, look, in a perfect world, it would be great if there was more collaboration between the city, the county, the state. But we have to live in what's reality. And the reality is, as you mentioned before, we've got 12 cities that are vying for one of two expansion sites this year. And even though the league is likely to add some additional teams in the coming years, there's just there's no guarantees. The commissioner of Major League Soccer wants, Frank, he wants to be in St. Louis, unlike the NFL. They want to be here. They know the history. They know the passion. Let's make it happen. as somebody...
Isn't that a Flashdance song?
Say it again. That's right.
Jennifer Beals, I'm a Maniac. Yeah, I remember that.
You know, Frank, again, part of the reason why I'm so passionate about this is I told you, again, on your show recently that I was at the National Association of Sports Commissions annual conference last week in Sacramento. And when you go to this conference, all of these sports commissions and convention and visitor bureaus across the country are touting their new facilities, their new, whether it's professional sports, convention centers, youth sports facilities, but all of these things are done to bring in travel tourism, whether it's through sports or conventions. And we just have an opportunity here to be progressive, and I just hope that we choose together as a community to be progressive in our votes tomorrow.
Do you get a pulse? I know that's not your primary objective. You're analyzing things, but do you have a pulse on how this thing could go?
Well, again, being someone that wants to see this city be progressive and move forward, I'm cautiously optimistic, but it's, you know, again, just being out this weekend, watching the Final Four, watching one game at one local establishment and one at another, this is a topic of conversations at bars and taverns, and you hear people really debating both sides of it. So when I hear that, I think it's going to be a close vote either way.
We're talking with Dr. Patrick Risch. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. What about all-star games and these other championships they talk about that could happen with the stadium being built? Possibly the Women's Professional Soccer League, small college championships, lacrosse championships, maybe some international friendlies, and that economic impact.
Well, I mean, all of these things make contributions to differing degrees. I think that the Major League Soccer franchise would have the biggest contribution, but when you have a brand new facility, as Kansas City has experienced, you are going to be a destination, especially here in St. Louis, you're going to be a destination for women's and men's World Cup qualifying matches, friendly matches. That's just going to be an absolute. It's going to happen. All these other events, whether you're talking about maybe high school tournaments or a women's professional team, again, a smaller contribution, but it still is something that puts St. Louis on the map. I personally hope that they can construct the area such that just outside of the stadium, there might be the ability to, say, have a futsal, right, F-U-T-S-O-L, where they can do outdoor 3-on-3, 4-on-4 tournaments that could bring in people regionally when there isn't something actually going on at the stadium. You have to be creative. A lot of different ways that this can benefit the city.
We're getting text, why not the county? You explain.
Well, again, in a perfect world, I would love to see contributions from all sources, city, county, and state. However, I will point out, as I did in my Forbes article, that because of this use tax, where a portion of the financing is coming from expenditures that are going to take place at the facility, well, that's where the county is making their contribution right there. Because I'm going to tell you right now that I believe that there's a large percentage, I don't know exactly what percentage that will be, but a large percentage of people attending MLS matches will come from either the county, from Illinois, or all points outside of that. So, again, it's not the city residents who are not interested in soccer. They're not the ones that are necessarily going to be paying for the facility. It's going to be the people that are attending these matches. And, again, a lot of those will be outside of the city of St. Louis.
And the MLS does not allow new stadiums or teams coming into the league with stadiums not in the city, correct? Because I know, like, in Kansas and some other markets, they're not in their respective cities.
Right. I mean, there is certainly a push to the best that you can. There are certainly some stadiums in the league in Kansas City. They're about 10 miles outside of downtown in Los Angeles where the Galaxy play. They play in Carson, which is about 15 to 20 miles outside of downtown Los Angeles. But I think there is a push that when at all possible, you try to put it close to the urban core for a variety of reasons. And you see this happening in Los Angeles with their second team there, the LAFC. They start next year. They're going to be playing right next to the LA Coliseum, where the Rams currently play and where USC plays. So I think the location that they've selected is ideal. And I heard someone last night from the Cardinals organization, I believe, talking about the synergies between what you have, of course, at Busch on 7th Street with Scott Trade on 14th, and then all the way down to Union Station, 18th, 19th Street, having that stadium. I just see a lot of possibilities. I know people here in the community feel like they've been burned by other owners and other teams, but if they had the perspective I had and the history and knowledge of looking at these deals across the country, you'd realize that this public-private partnership, again, is one of the most favorable to the city that I've ever seen.
Finally, Stan Kroenke did say that St. Louis was a dying market. So if this vote is no, Stan Kroenke may be absolutely correct.
Well, again, Frank, we've talked about this before off the air. As someone that's not from St. Louis originally, I've lived here now for almost 2 decades, there's a frustration. When I see these other cities and what they're able to do. And again, I think there's a deeper issue here that, yes, I do think long-term there needs to be more collaboration between city, county, and state leadership. But that being said, here's an opportunity where the Board of Aldermen have done a wonderful job negotiating with the team investors, where it's highly favorable to the city, not only in terms of the finances, Frank, but this community benefits agreement. I've never seen anything the likes of it.
Well, wait a minute. Explain that for 1 second. What that actually is, because I think people hear that and have no idea what it is.
Well, essentially, as I read it, it's the SCSTL investors saying, we're going to engage in several make goods for this community. We're going to invest and make sure that our athletes are available for youth camps. We're going to provide some resources to help build youth fields. We're going to do these sorts of outreach, but putting it on paper 5 years or 4 years before a facility is up and running is just something that, I've just never seen anything like that before. They are, you know, again, as I go back and kind of review some of the literature here, the endowment of up to 30 need-based scholarships for underprivileged youth from living in the city, minimum visits from players and coaches and officials. Again, using soccer, and we've seen it all over the world, Frank, really. I mean, you stop and think about it. It's the world's game. It's a sport that can transcend economic levels, and you can, again, get this into the some of the communities here in downtown St. Louis that can at least be a positive for some of our citizens and give folks something to do, something to keep their kids busy, and something that can be educational as well.
Good stuff. Dr. Risch, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on another big day for you at Washington U. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
All right. That is Dr. Patrick Risch. Now I'm going to give you guys one last chance to amend your vote, or are you going to stay with it that you think it's going to be a negative vote?
No, Frank, I'm going to stick with my vote of no. Not my vote of no, but my prediction
of
no.
You obviously want it to happen.
I would prefer it happen, yes.
All right, how about it?
Schaefer hates soccer.
Yeah.
I would.
You're not wrong, but...
I would prefer it passing, but I still lean towards a narrow no.
All right, and why don't we do this since we have so much at stake here. Let's do North Carolina-Gonzaga tonight.
Ooh, man.
North Carolina is favored by 2 or 3?
I was just about to ask that. College basketball line. Let me see.
I think North Carolina, if the spread is 2 or 3, I think they win and cover. I think they win by about 4 or 5 points.
You say North Carolina wins, all right?
It's 1 or 1.5, depending on where you look now.
Ooh, I'll be rooting for Gonzaga for the team that hasn't done it before, but I think North Carolina gets it.
Boy, Gonzaga is such a fine-tuned machine.
They are.
Offensively, especially. I think Gonzaga slows it down enough that they pull it out.
All right, so somebody's going to go 2-0, somebody's going to go 0-2. Gosh, I hope I don't. Look, I don't care about this game tonight. I want the soccer thing more than anything.
Who do you think is going to win, though, tonight?
Oh, I like Gonzaga.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like the way they're playing a little bit better. And if Joe Barry, too, was a little bit healthier, maybe, but I don't think so. All right, before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth. Was there on Saturday afternoon. Had a great lunch with my mom and some of her friends. Food is outstanding, and we know my mom's in great shape because they take great care of her. We'll take a break. A little bit later in the program, we'll be joined by the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel.